This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us together before this, just about a month before Hajj. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it. Practical tips. These are brand new. Nobody's ever seen these practical tips before. I've never shared them before, right? So, Allah, take a picture of your luggage from home. Why? When you get to Jeddah and other places, it's not very organized. Actually, it's chaotic, but they have their own routine. Somehow your bag will eventually turn up. Very few bags eventually get lost, but having a picture helps, because what happens, you'll get to your hotel and all the bags will usually come on another vehicle than yours from the Jeddah airport. Likewise, when you're transferring Makkah to Medina, unless you're going with your own luggage, usually they take it separately. So what they do is they come and they put them all on one floor in the hotel. Floor number 3, for example. You have to go there to identify it. Sometimes though, from your group, some people will be going to one hotel, some people will be going to another hotel. Your bag may end up in another hotel. If you have a picture of your bag, at least you can put it onto the group as such. Somebody will find it. Eventually, alhamdulillah, things don't get stolen as much. They're not bags anyway. So eventually it does turn up, but take a picture so that at least you know. Otherwise you're like, what does your bag look like? Oh, it's a black one. Well, every bag is black needy, you know. And try to put some ribbon or something on there that's distinctive, like a red ribbon or something like that on one of the handles or something. That usually helps. Take a picture of your bag and sleeping place in Mina. When you get to Mina now, fast forward to Mina, because you know when you're staying in Mina for 4 days, 3 or 4 days, you're going to have to go to Makkah to do your tawaf and stuff. Last year, a guy went to Makkah and he couldn't come back to Mina. He got very sick. So he called me and he goes, can you please organize for my bag to come back? I don't know what his bag looks like. So then it took a while. Alhamdulillah, we found his bag. I sent it with somebody to Makkah. He still gives me du'as until today. But it would be very useful when you get to Mina to take a photo of your space and your bags, so that if anything happens, you can tell somebody, look, this is what it looks like. Please bring it. Just practical tips. Come on. Right? Take a larger waist pouch for your phone, etc. Phone case with a neck rope to hang it around. Messing around with your phone, because you might be doing dua on there, you might be communicating. So always having to pull it out, because you have to be worried about pickpocketing there. So you can't just keep it in a bag just like that and open. Somebody could just take it. There are pickpockets there. So another method is get one of those shoulder straps for your phone, where it's hanging. So it's easy to manage. Likewise for your glasses, to get one of those strings. They're very helpful, because when you go to do wudu, where you're going to put your glasses, you have to find odd places to put your glasses while you're making wudu. So if you have glasses, it's nice to have that strap. I finally have bought some. I'm going to use them this year. I'm going to try to use them. Right? Mina, bring some straps. I mentioned the straps. Buses can take several hours. From Azizia last year, we were in Azizia, which is 1.5 hours walk, 15, 20 minutes by car, 10 minutes, 15 minutes on a car on a good day. Took 3 hours. We left at 11 o'clock at night to get to Mina on the 7th. It took 3 hours. Everywhere we're going, roads are closed. They're managing the traffic in their own way. So it took 3 hours. We thought half an hour we're going to be there. If I had walked, I would have got there in 1.5 hours. It took double the time in a bus. So that's not the fault of your group. It's the bus company or whoever it is. Last year what happened is, some people decided on the 12th, because our hotel was close to the Jamarat, half an hour walk in Azizia. So there were some buses that were going to take everybody's luggage. So some people decided, you know what, let's jump in, take everything. We'll go to our hotel on the 12th. And then we'll come back to do the Jamarat after Zohar, because after Zohar is when the time begins. We said, no, we're going to stay there. We're just going to send our luggage. We're going to do the proper way. We got to our hotel before them. Their coach, number one, had no AC working. It was very hot. And there was a rule last year, and it may still be there, that only licensed people can open the doors. They can only drop you in certain places. So they won't even let them off. They were going around in circles. They couldn't find a way to get to the hotel because blocks, and because that's a very busy day. Very busy day. And finally, I think they really like got quite aggressive with the driver, and then, "We're going to open, get out." Then he finally let them out. So expect, inshallah, none of that will happen, but you just have to, inshallah, it won't happen. I already mentioned this, that in Mina, go to the toilet way before, so when hardly anybody's there. Don't wait until the last moment, because remember, it's easier to do wudu at that time than to go toilets, right? Likewise, if you want to go for a shower, don't go at the last minute, go earlier, right? And you know, when you're walking from if you're going to walk, and I'll explain that, we usually walk on the last day, we usually walk to Makkah. If our hotel is in Makkah, on the last day, on the 12th, traffic, it's just, roads are chock-a-block. Everybody's trying to get to Makkah. So it could take several hours. We usually just walk. It's a 1 hour walk from the Jamarat to Makkah, near the Haram. It's 1 hour. Very convenient. So what happens on the way, you're going to need water. So what will happen is that suddenly there'll be some water facilities, like water coolers. And as soon as you've seen a water cooler, everybody runs to the first one. Stop running to the first one. There's going to probably be a few more. Just look ahead. They're usually going to be calm. This is just normal strategy that that you pick up. So don't rush to the first one. And then practical tips number two. You'll see a big difference between Westerners and non-Westerners, right? And you have Westerners in Pakistan and India as well, right? If you know what I mean. So all these Westerners, they have all of these pouches of electrolytes and powders and supplements. They have colored water. They'll have bottles of water with yellow or orange or something. And everybody else in the world, they'll just be surviving on normal water. MashaAllah. But their hajj gets done as well. I'm not saying it's a wrong thing. It's just kind of crazy, right? I saw one guy, we've got all these fancy bags. There's a guy, he's got his shawl. He's put his slipper in there, tied it up and thrown it over his shoulder, and he's walking. He's got no bag. His hajj is done. He's just going, MashaAllah, doing tawaf. So don't get too obsessed with this. Yes, this stuff does make things easy, but come on, you know. Is anybody thinking of doing a walking hajj? Yeah? Okay. Allah make it easy. The thought of a walking hajj sounds exotic, right? I've not found it to be sunnah. If you have any proof for it being sunnah, then let me know. Because Prophet ﷺ did use an animal. And yes, if you can't find transport, you walk, khalas, that's fine. But when you've got access to transport and you still want to do hajj, walking, you better really have planned and trained for it. We're not used to that heat down there. And a lot of people aren't even used to walking that much. So how are you going to do it and you know, you've got no training, how are you going to do that and still be fine and not get knocked out on the third day? I remember last year, there were some guys, when they did the first one, it's like they didn't do it again. The first day they walked, and then they didn't do it again. Sometimes it's actually better to walk, because that is just going to take much longer. But if you do want to walk, all I'm going to advise you is that prepare in some extreme heat somewhere, walking several hours a day. Then inshallah, it'll be fine with you. Right? If somebody wants to take a scooter, those electric scooters, I saw some last year. That was interesting. Not to do tawaf and sa'i, but just to get between places. Then it might work. Okay, with anybody taking a wheelchair person? Okay, this is going to be very, because I've been observing this for a few years. People go with wheelchairs. One person to look after the wheelchair person, it's usually not enough. Heat, uphill climb sometimes, you're just forced to walk. I would say that, and it might be too late now, but you need at least two people with every wheelchair person to take turns in pushing. It's not easy, especially if they're heavy, right? So this is just some advice to pass on to anybody going with a wheelchair. They take two people. Don't expect that the group leader is going to help you. He's got the whole group to look after. What we did last year is I got the guy with a wheelchair. I said, stay at the front, because if you're at the back and you get lost, nobody's going to know. So number one, the advice is stay at the front. Make some friends who might volunteer to help you. To encourage everybody else, I was a group leader, to encourage them, I started pushing. Then when they see the group leader pushing, like, okay, maybe we should do this, right? But otherwise, it's tough. It's not easy. That's why you need two people with every wheelchair person, I think. I said, if you do have a vulnerable individual, an older person who doesn't understand Google Maps or whatever, they're just vulnerable, put a tracker on them. You know, you get those Samsung or iTrackers, whatever they're called, because then you can locate them. We had cases last year where people got lost and they just couldn't figure out, because they don't have the language. They ended up in some Algerian camp. There's no language. They don't know what to say. The police didn't speak. Nobody's got time, right? Because it's quite busy during the Hajj period itself. That's why it's nice to have a tracker on anybody vulnerable you're going with, so that you can maybe zoom into them, inshallah. I don't think anybody else will tell you that. Carry lots of water all the time. And expectations is everything. Expect it to be easy, you're in for a rude awakening. But if you know it's going to be difficult, then inshallah, it's going to become easier. Okay, practical tips number three. Right, there are lots of organization. This is another thing I've noticed. There's a lot of organization in the beginning, before Hajj and the first few days of Hajj. So that means Mina, the first day of Mina, very organized, right? They check everything. Then the day of Arafah, very organized, the buses, everything. And then Muzdalifah, you get to Muzdalifah. After Muzdalifah, the whole organization seems to break down. There's still a system, but it kind of gets all disorganized. People become very sick. And then they don't want to go and pelt. They want others to do it for them. You're not allowed to do that unless you physically cannot go. If it's just difficult, you still have to go. If that means being carried, if that means getting a wheelchair and somebody taking you, right? Otherwise, a lot of people try to find lots of concessions afterwards. But until Muzdalifah is pretty organized, after that, it gets quite chaotic. Expect that, right? After that, it becomes survival of the fittest. Literally, you'll see it. In any masjid you go to, this is just like, you know, when you're in Masjid al-Haram or Masjid al-Nabawi and you're sitting there for the next hour, you want to go to get some water. Always keep your phones and small valuable items with you. Don't leave it there. You go for water like 10 meters away and you're not looking, it could disappear. Yes, people do pickpocket in the masjid. They pickpocket right in front of the Kaaba as well, right? So don't think. I know people who've been pickpocketed right in front of the Kaaba, you know, in the mataf. So just don't be too trusting. Don't leave in your place for prayer, unless you got somebody sitting there who's going to watch. When you are entering the masjid or trying to take your slippers off in a full crowd, then go to the side to do that. What happens is you go, everybody's rushing in the masjid. You have to take your slippers off. So you literally stop right there to try to take your slipper off. There's a whole wave of people coming behind you. They're going to knock you over. So to take your slippers off, I'd take it off before. Go inside, go to the side to take your slippers off. Likewise, when you come out of the masjid, don't try to just plump your slippers there and try to wear it because everybody else is coming out. Go to the side and then put it on. It's okay. Everything is very sanitized down there. When trying to exit out of the masjid, like in Medina Munawwara, in Masjid al-Nabawi, everybody for some reason gravitates to the main doors. There's lots of other smaller doors, but everybody's there and takes 5 minutes to come out. Just look around you. There might be a smaller door you can come out. This is if you want to be efficient. If you want to just relax, it's fine. Okay, there's going to be some ziyarat that your group might offer you, which means that in Makkah, after the days of Hajj, if you're staying there, they might take you back to look at what Arafah looks like, Muzdalifah, or maybe before if you're going very early. Or in Medina Munawwara, there's going to be ziyarat of Uhud, and the seven masajid, Masjid Qiblatain, Masjid Quba. They take you in a coach, in a bus. And there's loads of bus that go for ziyarah. So how do you remember where your bus is? So sometimes if you get lost, you go to use the bathroom, toilet, whatever, and then your group is gone. So that's why be very careful there, and be very careful with older folk who have confusion with these things. So what one idea is that take a picture of the bus and the license plate, and try to look around you, where, because the bus usually won't move. So you look around you, which direction. There's multiple ways to come into Masjid Quba. There's not just one way. So just keep that in mind. Okay, alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. MashaAllah, it's very, very cold today and I'm rubbing my hands. But very important message. Would you like a place in paradise, in Jannah? A place with bricks of gold and silver, mortar of fragrant musk, pebbles of pearls and sapphire, soils of saffron. You may have not heard me talk like this before. But MashaAllah, gardens outside the palaces will have streams flowing beneath them. The streams of Jannah will be crystal clear water. And then after that, you're going to have others with milk and of honey and rivers, mashallah. Brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever builds a masjid for Allah, Allah will build for him likewise in paradise, something similar in paradise. White Thread Institute, which you all know inshallah, desperately needs to develop this center of ours to accommodate people, students and worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This area doesn't have a masjid. So we want to give service to all sections of the community once this is built, including the wider society. We need to raise 450,000 to achieve this. We just need 4,500 special people to donate just £100 each to reach our target. Brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'm going to reiterate, whoever builds a masjid for Allah, Allah will build for him similar in paradise. What an amazing reward this is. Imagine, if you just donate £100 in this world, Allah will build for you a house in paradise. Not just any house. A paradise house is not any house. Whatever your heart desires will be in this place. Not only this, brothers and sisters, but this project is also Sadaqa Jari, which means a continuous charity. If you donate, then anytime somebody prays here, worships here, learns anything from here and prays elsewhere, you get the same reward, inshallah. Every person who learns the Quran, reads, you will get the same reward, inshallah. What an amazing reward, subhanallah, that is waiting for you. All for just £100. Brothers and sisters, build your home in paradise. Donate towards this masjid. On the button below, hit the link. And one more thing, please. Share this video. And anybody else that donates, because of your sharing this video, inshallah, you will be rewarded as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Allah reward you. Jazakumullah khairan.
With the Rayyan Courses subscription, you gain immediate access to over 250 hours of exclusive video lessons taught by experienced scholars. Sign up now at rayyancourses.com to continue your journey. The next lesson is waiting.